Good morning, Midland First. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, and what a gift it is to be with you this morning and for us to worship God in community together. We have a few announcements for you. Beginning first with the Midwest mission trip, which Fritz Hyde will tell us more about.
Welcome. I'm Fritz Hyde. I'm your mission chair. We will be going to the Midwest mission on a mission trip and wanted to invite anyone that would like to come. We have two rooms left. They are private rooms. We had 7 people go last year. We've got 9 signed up this year. The dates are... We leave here Tuesday, May 28th, and return Saturday, June 1st. So it's a 4 or 5 day trip. No special skills needed. I think he's probably flashing through some of the pictures from last year. They have a wonderful bike shop, a sewing machine repair shop. They assemble hygiene kits, education kits. They have a desk shop, a wood shop. No special skills needed. And everyone and anyone is welcome. Families are welcome. They're 4 bunks, 4 sleeping spots per location. But obviously, I think it's during school, so it'll be harder for the families to go. Other than that, John, I think you're up next.
Good morning. I am chair of the facilities team here at the church. We're charged with taking care of our building and our 2 parsonages. And something that has been lacking is their sound production that we have. A lot of people have a difficult time hearing. There are a lot of different factors involved in that difficulty. If you are aware, this church was designed by Alden Dow back in the 40s. And to be very honest, there was little care or thought given to acoustics, of which this place is not the best. He was concerned more about bringing light and nature in by choosing the different colors in the pool and the memorial garden than he was about sound production. But something that you may or may not know, above the pulpit and lectern are 6 holes on each side representing the 12 disciples, and behind those are our large pipes for our pipe organ. So sound had an effect on him, but it wasn't a major one. And so we're going through a very large upgrade of our sound system. There are going to be additional speakers, a total of 20 within the sanctuary, a new soundboard, and bringing us in basically into the 21st century for sound production. Some of the problems have been created by the hard surfaces that we have around our sanctuary. The fewer the people, the more hard surfaces are exposed. And so sound bounces and goes all over the place. And so we try to do what we can. This is a very expensive project. We've got a figure of about $95,000 that will be put into this. And you may wonder, where do the funds come from? The facilities team has got a discretionary spending budget, and we are contributing $20,000 out of there. $30,000 comes from memorials. Special donations, which I put before you. If you are interested, you can put a check in the mail or bring it to the office, made out to Sound Upgrade for our church. And then out of the Curry Endowment Music Fund will come the remainder of the money. So I will hope that you would think about contributing to this very much needed update. Thank you.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Fritz. I have 2 more quick announcements for you. One is that scholarship applications are due to me this coming Thursday, April 18th. You can send them via email, or you can drop them off at the office. And our last announcement is that we have a town hall meeting This morning, right after this first service, at 10:15 in the chapel, I would encourage you to come to that. You'll hear some different things that are going on in the church. And so I would encourage that. Now, will you turn and greet one another?
Would you please rise for the call to worship? Stay faithful to the good news of Jesus Christ, beloved of God, come what may.
May the Lord cross deeper into his relationship with each other.
The love of God is steadier, stronger, more true, and more beautiful than anything that might tempt us to wander from God and His best for us. For the hymn.
Good morning. Come on down, kids. Hi, Nora. Good morning, everybody. Our lesson today is about two men on the road to Emmaus. They encountered another man on the road, and their hearts burned as they walked together. At dinner, when he broke the bread, the two men knew who he was. They had met the risen Jesus. This story is from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, let us be confident it is you every time you meet up with us. Let us know you in the scriptures, warmed hearts, or that still, small voice. Amen.
Indeed, what a gift the grace of God is, and what a beautiful way to usher us into prayer. Let us go to God together. God, thank you so much for who you are. You are the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior who knows all things, but who has also experienced the deepest level of pain and suffering, who, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Teach us to live as Easter people, as those who carry the gospel in all we do. Lord, you are the Lord of all. We do not understand all of your ways, but we know that you are ever, only, always good. Help us to be obedient in times when it is easy and in times when it is not. We pray for the persecuted church today, for those who suffer for the sake of the gospel all over the world. Lord, for the war-torn countries of Israel, Ukraine, and many others, bring peace, hope, and holy justice. Grant those under the oppression of leaders who do not do your will the courage to do what is right in your eyes. May we remember that we are one body with many members in you. Thank you for the privilege that it is to come to you. You are always present with us, and we are never outside of your presence. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lead us to be your hands and feet in the world. Because we are never outside of your presence, may you inspire us to be obedient to your will for the sake of your glory and for the good of others. God, be glorified in us. May we be transformed further into the image of your Son with each passing day. And Lord, we pray that you will fill each of us, you will find each of us faithful to you to the end, come what may. We thank you so much for the precious gift of your Son, and for the prayer that he taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we will have the giving of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers will please come forward. God, for these gifts, we are grateful. All that we have to give is all that we have already been given, and everything that we have is a gift from you. Lord, please use these gifts to your glory, that they may build up your kingdom and your people. Lord, we thank you so much that you are ever, only, always good. May you use these as much as you see fit. We thank you so much. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have affliction. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life." The first verse of our passage this morning begins as I just read it. Last week, we read that the angel of the church in Ephesus was told to write the words of the one who holds the seven stars in his hand, in his right hand. This week, we read that the angel of the church in Smyrna writes the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Each time John writes about Jesus using an epithet, it tells us something about Jesus' identity. Certainly, it reminds us of the divine nature of Jesus and that he is fully God and fully human at the same time. But it is also a reminder of the resurrection. These words that the angel writes are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. And for the church in Smyrna, this was a particular encouragement. I believe Brian has a picture of a map for us. On it, you will see where the church in Smyrna was located, along with the other six churches written about in the book of Revelation. Smyrna was a city much like Ephesus and only about 40 miles north of the Roman administrative center. It too was a diverse coastal city, one of the judicial centers, and known for its ports, paved roads, and Acropolis. The background of this passage is so important because it helps us to understand the similarities and differences to our own time and place, reflecting historical accuracy and spiritual truth at the same time. At the time of John's writing, both Judaism and Christianity were known and established as present within the community. However, to the Roman authorities, Christianity was a sect of Judaism. But this was not the case. Among the Jews and Christians, there was animosity because Christianity is not just a Jewish sect, but is entirely different regarding who we believe Jesus to be. This resulted in confrontations with Roman authorities because the Christians at Smyrna were handed over to them by the Jews. To the church in Smyrna, Jesus said in verse 9, "I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Although the city was rich in activity and technology, Christians were poor. The status of their religion kept them from being able to participate in many things. because there would often be pagan cults or other gods associated with jobs or activities in the community. Yet, Jesus said, "I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich. I know the slander on the part of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." The letter to the church in Smyrna is one of only two that do not include a rebuke for the people, but rather the opposite. The one who knows all things speaks a word of encouragement, acknowledging that in their poverty they are rich. They are rich in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the recognition that to stay the course and be faithful to Jesus to the end is to win the crown of life, which is the true hope of the pale reflection of laurel wreaths that would be handed out for military conquests and victory in athletics. Verse 9 also begs the question of who the Jews are. And in the context of our heritage as the people of Israel, it is an important one. The word slander in verse 9 connotates more than just a disagreement in belief, but instead an active persecution of the Christians by the Jews, even though their heritage is the same. Now, that is not to say that there is no distinction between Jews and Christians, because there is, and the distinction is just as important as what they share. Herein lies the tension and the beauty, the hope to which Christ calls them. Jesus goes on to say, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have affliction. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whoever conquers will not be harmed by the second death." In the Gospels, the writers tell us the truth. Jesus did not say that we would have easy lives by following him. He said that it was worth it. Not by what we have to gain in material possessions and wealth, but because he is the eternal one. Everything starts and ends in Jesus, the Son of God and the second person of the Trinity. Jesus is clear and honest in telling the churches what he wants them to know. And here it is that they will suffer. They will be tempted to avoid prisons with no windows and no hope of release until a sentence has been given. Perhaps they will even be tempted to retaliate by turning on their fellow brother or sister in Christ. However, Jesus reminds the church in Smyrna and us today that the devil is also at work. He is the one who is evil itself. He is the adversary of us all and a deceiver in that way. He deceives us into thinking that walking with God in love and obedience to him somehow pales in comparison to our own will. Do not be deceived. Be on your guard. God, who is holy other, H-O-L-Y, and holy other, W-H-O-L-L-Y, does not devise evil for us or rejoice in any affliction we face in this life, but he allows it for the purpose of honoring the free will that he allows, that he gave us, and the freedom that he allows us to have because he loves us, even if it means that we don't choose him and what his best is for us. God is the redeemer of all evil and affliction. The propensity to sin because the world is broken meant that the church in Smyrna would face persecution for a period of time. Scholars believe that the reference to 10 days in verse 10 here harkens back to Daniel chapter 1, in which Daniel only ate vegetables for 10 days in order to remain pure and not eat food sacrificed to idols from the king's table. This was a literal period of testing for him in order to strengthen his faith because of the temptations around him. But in Revelation chapter 2, the reference is most likely figurative. In a semi-autobiographical account of early Christian martyrdom, an anonymous author closes the written account of the passion of early Christian martyrs, Perpetua and Felicity, with victorious language. Thomas J. Heffernan translates and explains the work in his book of the same name. Perpetua and Felicity were Christian martyrs in early Italy. Perpetua was from a wealthy family and well married with an infant son. Perpetua and Felicity both, along with several others, were martyred by way of animal contests, in which they stood in an arena with animals and fought until it was finished. Certainly a very gruesome scene. The anonymous author who finished the account of Perpetua and Felicity had this to say about the day that they walked into eternity. The day of their victory dawned, and they marched from prison to the amphitheater joyously, as if going to heaven. Their faces radiant. And if by chance they trembled, it was from joy, not fear. Perpetua followed with a shining face and a calm step as a wife of Christ and darling of God. And the intensity of her stare caused the spectators to look away. Likewise, Felicity rejoiced that she had given birth safely so that she might fight with the beast, advancing from blood to blood, from the midwife to a net-bearing gladiator, now to be washed after childbirth in a second baptism. I would encourage you to Google the names Perpetua and Felicity. There are many translations of the text online. Perpetua is spelled P-E-R-P-E-T-U-A. It is an honest account of the challenging circumstances and suffering that Christians have and do face, but with such hope. I mention this example because our text is clear. As Christians, we will suffer on behalf of our faith because we live in a world that is broken. We are not without hope. That is God's message through and through in this text for the early church and for us today. It is worth it because of who God is. Remember last week, I said that the most important question we can ask in the study of who God is who is God? This helps us to orient ourselves in Him as we walk through what we do not understand. And yet, we can trust God. We were created to trust God. The epithet that he gives us in verse 8 reflects God's nature. Jesus is the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Easter is not only a season, it is a lived reality. We practice resurrection by living present to the hope found in Jesus Christ. He is our risen Savior. Even though the church in Smyrna faced persecution and trials, God promised that those faithful to the end would receive the crown of life, the victory. And he promises that for us too. In the little things, in the big things, in the news reports that break our hearts when we hear of another tragedy, there is hope. May we not get too comfortable with the comforts that we have, that we forget those who do not. May we not become bitter because the end has not yet come. And we face our own trials every day. Our hope is secure, and the promise will be fulfilled. Take heart and have hope in joy and sorrow, whichever it is for you today. In the meantime, we are called to seize the opportunity of today to live out hope in the world, to practice resurrection by living out our faith in times of trial and in times of joy, come what may. Remember what Jesus has done for you, for us. Why is it that you're here today? Tell the world so that they can come too, into the house of our God, because he lives. He is the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. And we will too, those who are faithful to the end. It is the faithful who will receive the crown of life, the victory. Not because we cling to what God can do for us, but because of who he is and who we are as his dearly loved image bearers following his son. May we have ears to hear as the Lord calls us closer, each of us closer to himself in our daily lives. May we have eyes to see where he is leading. He is faithful, and he will lead us home if we choose to follow. Glory to God, and praise for the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Stand for the following, the closing hymn. Beloved of God, have peace, because the first and the last goes with you. We will suffer trials in this life, but have hope, because in Jesus Christ we have the victory, and he walks with us wherever we go. We were created to trust him. So go now in his love and do so. Trust him and tell the world about him, because there are those who need to know. Go in peace, come what may. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.